welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. In this podcast, we discuss mystical works of literature and how they relate to recovery. We hope you enjoy today's podcast episode.
Hello, this is Buddy C. Welcome to the Tao of Understanding Recovery Podcast. Today we have Lori and Brian. Good to have you guys today. Announcements. Just take a look at buddyc.org. A lot of things there, a lot of resources. There's a bookstore with the majority of books that we reference, if not all. Also, I haven't mentioned lately, but there's a book I penned, which is my interpretation of the Tao Te Ching in recovery. You can go look at some excerpts from the book at buddyc.org, and I will send you a free PDF of the book if you email me from the website, or you can go buy a paperback copy on Amazon. Either one works for me. Okay. The 42nd verse of the Tao Te Ching is what we're talking about today. Lori, how about you reading Jonathan Starr for us, please?
Sure. Tao gives life to the one, gives life to the two, gives life to the three. The three give life to 10,000 things. All beings support yin and embrace yang, and the interplay of these two forces fills the universe. Yet only at the still point, between the breathing in and the breathing out, can one capture these two in perfect harmony. People suffer at the thought of being without parents, without food, or without worth, yet this is the very way that kings and lords once described themselves. Who knows what fate may bring? One day your loss may be your fortune, one day your fortune may be your loss. The age-old lesson that others teach, I also teach. As you plant, so you reap. As you live, so you die. Know this to be the foundation of my teachings.
You, Lori? Okay, I'm going to read the Derek Lynn. Tao produces one. One produces two. Two produce three. Three produce myriad things. Myriad things, backed by yin and yang and embracing yang, achieve harmony by integrating their energies. What the people dislike are alone, bereft, and unworthy. But the rulers call themselves with these terms. So with all things, okay, but the rulers call them themselves with these terms. So all things appear to take loss, but benefit, or receive benefit, but lose. What the ancients taught, I will also teach. The violent one cannot have a natural death. I will use this as the principle of my teachings. I'll read Stephen Mitchell. The Tao gives birth to one. One gives birth to two. Two give birth to three. Three gives birth to all things. All things have their backs in the female and stand facing the male. When male and female combine, all things achieve harmony. Ordinary men hate solitude, but the master makes use of it, embracing his aloneness, realizing he is one with the whole universe. I like the Jonathan Starr best, I think. Brian, do you have a copy of the Jonathan Starr?
I do.
Also, guys, a number of these translations, I'll put a link in the notes you can pull up online for free. I think it's 8 or 10 translations total. The Guy Fu Feng, Stephen Mitchell, Victor Marr, Stephen Addis, Derek Lynn, J.H. McDonald, Jim Klettfelter, David Hint, Ron Hogan, Agnieszka Solska. All right. Easy for me to say. Let's use the Jonathan Starr today to discuss. I think that's got the most meat to it. I do like the way that Stephen Mitchell approached the last part. So when we get to the end, we'll talk about him too. Tao gives life to the one, gives life to the two, give life to the three. The three give life to 10,000 things. 10,000 things is everything. Sounds pretty cryptic to me. Any thoughts on that? I don't have any thoughts on that. Let's just go to the next one. I do know that most, if not all, beings are made up of threes. I know a tree has bark and sap and pulp. I know that I was taught early on that we were three. We were a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And there's other ways we can find threes in nature, I'm sure. Water is a liquid, solid, or a vapor. That's threes. I didn't do any research, but I'm sure we could come up with a list of threes if we started researching a little bit. Okay, let's move on to the next one, the next stanza, unless y'all have a comment there. All beings support yin and embrace yang, and the interplay of these two forces fill the universe, yet only at the still point between the breathing in and the breathing out, can one capture these two in perfect harmony.
So I was just listening to that Bhaktivedanta on my drive, and it's interesting, but it talks about this too. And so do various other texts, the contrasts or the opposites. And that's my experience, is black and white, and I personally shoot for gray, like the moderation. It says in the Bhaktivedanta, you don't try and starve yourself and you don't overeat. You shoot for the middle space. And the still point they talk about a lot in meditation, that place between, the space between thoughts, the space between breaths. So this supports all of various scriptural and, I guess, theological, I don't know, philosophical points of view.
Or something would be wrong if it didn't.
It's probably more of a source document than.
That's the thing. We should be able to see these principles in numerous texts. If it's something independent that's not, doesn't line up with other things, it's probably not the truth. Because I think that at the beginning, and this still happens today, I think, there were these base ideas and thoughts that were given to different people around the world, a lot at the same times. And so they started this climb up the spiritual mountain. And when you think about it, you can start a trail going up the same mountain on different sides, and the trail look totally different, not be the same trail. Yeah. And the closer it gets to the top, the more they all look alike, all look similar. And I think it's the same thing for spirituality. You know, no matter where we begin, if we're truly seeking, we will find. See, I realized this one day, that it's not, we're told when the student's ready, the teacher appears. It's not when the teacher's ready, the student appears. It's the student that seeks out, that draws the teaching. It's not the teacher that draws the student. So when we're seeking, well, there's scripture for that. Jesus said, what you seek, you'll find. So that's dangerous sometimes, because we don't know the cost of something we're seeking. We're just looking. We say we want something, or we desire something in our life. Many times we don't realize what that means when we say that. That's like the decision we make in the third step. We decide to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. Now, we make that decision in the third step. I don't know how to do that in the third step. I have no idea. I can try, but I don't know how to turn my will and my life over to God as I understand God. I have no idea. But as I do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then do 10, 11, 12 ongoing, I begin to see how, when I pray for someone I have a resentment against, I'm turning that care over. I'm letting go of that care. All of those steps in my thinking, the purpose of those are for me to do what I decided to do in the third step. I decided to turn my will and life over. And that's an ongoing process the rest of my life. That is really the essence of the program. And my realization is turning more and more, letting go of more and more of the things I carry that I care about, letting go of my desires, my will.
All attachments, right?
Yes, all attachments. So I think that's the still point is interesting between breathing in and breathing out. That's that place of effortlessness, that place of surrender, I think. The other time you can see it when you throw a ball up in the air, there's just a moment where it's not rising and it's not falling. It's that place where, that place of ease. There's no push. There's no pull.
Yeah.
And I think that we're designed to live in that place. That's where the harmony is. There's no pushing and pulling. Just right there. Just lasts a millisecond in nature. But it's something I think a place we can learn to live. That place where there's no pushing and no pulling. Yeah.
Buddy, I was thinking about the where it mentions the yin and yang when it's that circle. And I was like, it's that point right dead in the center.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes we judge good and bad. All these judgments that we make, that's taking us out of the center. And I think that's what this is saying, is that we're to stay at that place of ease, that place right in the middle. And anytime we take sides, anytime we divide you against me, whether it's I'm better than you or that if I'm think I'm worse than you, either one is taking me out of the center where that ease is. How do I get to the center is the question. Well, for me, getting to the center is learning how to make surrendering my way would be a better way to say it. Surrendering my way to love-based motivations and actions rather than fear-based motivations and actions. Because fear always takes me out of the center, because fear is always attacking, always defending, always thinking better than or worse than, always. Now, outwardly, that is seen as judgment. That is seen as defense. That is seen as ego, pride, self-pity, feeling less than, not doing something because you have a fear of failure, let's say. That's bringing you out of the center. And it doesn't matter whether you're going negative or positive, like you're going toward thinking more of yourself or less than you. It doesn't matter which one it is. It's still taking you out of the center. The point's to stay right there. And it's described a lot of different ways. It's described as the observer, that you notice, you become the noticer, I guess would be the way to say it, that you're noticing, that you realize that your thoughts are not you. They don't have to carry you in a direction. You're the one observing the thoughts. The feelings that you have, they're not you. You're the one observing the feelings that you have. Because those feelings you have, my understanding at the moment of those is that your feelings are a result of the fears that are manifesting in your life or the compassion that's manifesting in your life. Both can take us away if we're not careful. And they twist together for me. Let's say I'm helping someone with something. My motive, it can change, flip in a heartbeat where now I'm judging other people that are not doing what I'm doing. Why aren't they doing this? I've immediately left the center. Immediately. And the only time you can really be in the center too is when you're in the moment. If you're in the past and the future, you're out of center. So I think this is identifying that center, what that center is. They say it's between the breath in and the breath out. There's a lot of ways that we could describe it. I like the idea of the ball that you throw up, because there's either push on the ball or pull, or there's that one moment, a millisecond, where the ball has neither happening. Yes. Any other thoughts on that part? All right. Let's move to the next one. People suffer at the thought of being without parents, without food, and without worth. Yet, this is the very way that kings and lords once described themselves. More of that difference, right? Interesting. It says how they suffer at the thought. Lori?
So I have this other translation. It's curious. It's Ralph Allen Dale. And I like this, just this one little bit here. For most people, the harmony is decimated by inheriting a condition of relative misery, scarcity, and victimization. I guess those three words make more sense to me than the parents, food, and worth. But it's that self-pity, being the victim at the not responsible for your choices or your solution or your life. And it goes on to say politicians instead of the rulers, kings and lords. Politicians cleverly pretend that they too originate from the toxic soil of this misery. So I dig that. So on either side, like you were saying, on either side of the center, either extreme, good or bad, pride or lack of self-worth can be toxic. And you suffer because you're trying to maintain it So that's pretty interesting. Little way.
We suffer when we think. That's what the Jonathan Starr says. He says people suffer at the thought.
Exactly.
So we suffer at thinking, like we had talked about before. It doesn't matter how we're thinking of ourselves, we're suffering. Thinking good or thinking bad. Either one takes us out of the moment. And the moment is that place of ease, that millisecond of no push, no pull. Yeah, that's good. Let's move on to the next one. Who knows what fate may bring? One day your loss may be your fortune. One day your fortune may be your loss. That's describing what we've been talking about more. I pin that as sometimes in losing, we make room for gain, and in gaining, we make room for loss. If we're taken out of the moment, it doesn't matter which it is. If my ego's getting boosted by success, or if I'm feeding my self-pity in failure, both are taking me out of the moment. It doesn't mean I can't be successful and not be in the moment. I can. If I look at everything as a gift, that it was not my intellect that brought my income, then I can stay in the moment with it. I don't have to be carried away in how great I am. If I can experience failure the same way, if I experience failure and realize the failure is not me, just like the gain is not me, the success is not me either, I'm presented with this failure. That's life. A lot of people get into recovery and they think, everything's going to be unicorns and rainbows, but it's not. It's still life. There's still success and failure. There's still winning and losing. There's still all those things. Everything's not going to be great. Now, for most, if not all people, life gets better. And it's more of their attitude toward life gets better. We've talked about this some recently. People die. Just because we're in recovery doesn't mean that folks don't die anymore in our life, that people don't have to file bankruptcy in recovery. They do. They do. We can get our eyes, though, on the idea that when there's loss, there's something I'm doing wrong. We go to blame ourselves for the loss. The Christianity that I was raised in, if there was loss, there was sin in my life or something I was doing wrong. It came back to point at me. I couldn't be the observer and say, okay, it's just a time of loss. All right. How can I be grateful for this loss? I can flip it to gratitude. And if I can find some gratitude, then I can get acceptance. And that the acceptance is where my peace and joy is, not everything going great. Because I've had times with a good bit of money in the bank and things are successful and I still had no peace. And I had lost the very same way, no peace, because I realized it's that peace I'm looking for, not the success. I'm thinking that will bring me peace, but it never does. Because as long as I'm pacifying fear, that fear is just going to find another place to jump, just jumps to something else. I remember I was afraid I couldn't pay my bills, but when that flipped and I had money in the bank, I was afraid I'd lose the money I had. It was still, the fear was still there. It was still taking me out of the center. Another way to look at this would be there's nothing outside of ourselves that has to take us out of center. And there's nothing outside of ourselves that can bring us to the center either. Because for me, the center comes from acceptance, and that's an inside job. It comes from surrender. It's come from being at that place. So if I'm the observer in my life, then those things aren't taking me out of the center. I'm in the moment. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. All right. Let's move to the last stanza. The age-old lesson that others teach, I also teach. As you plant, so you reap. As you live, so you die. Know this to be the foundation of my teachings. Stephen Mitchell framed that as ordinary men hate solitude, but the master makes room, but the master makes use of it, embracing his aloneness, realizing he is one with the whole universe. Embracing is a form of love, form of compassion. So he embraces his aloneness. Could he be grateful for his aloneness? That would be a way to embrace it. That's where I go with that. Only then, once you embrace something, can you really become the noticer in the situation. So as a result of embracing the aloneness, he realizes that he is one with the whole universe. It's impossible for us to be alone. But we can't see that if we're taken off center by our fear and our aloneness. You know, you can flip that either way. You know, poor pitiful me, or no one's good enough to be with me, that kind of thing. You could go either direction with that ego, or doesn't matter which direction you go, you've gone. Yeah.
Either way, you're in ego.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're wailing on yourself, the whole world revolves around me and I'm a terrible person.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still ego.
Yeah.
Either pride or self-pity, either one, or ego. I pin that as the question to ask may be, what can I lose today? Yep, because that little paragraph before, stanza before, sometimes in losing we make room for gain, and in gaining we make room for loss. The question to ask may be, what can I lose today? I will make this the basis of my teaching. What can I lose today in what am I holding on to that I'm thinking is going to make me happy or sad? What is it that I'm holding on to out there that's going to pacify me? It's more about it is both. It's those things we need to surrender. It's the things that we decided to turn over in the third step. It's back to that. Yeah. What can I lose today? That's always a good question to ask. What can I let go of today that I'm thinking is going to make me happy?
For me, when the new year came around, my wife and I were discussing what do you have any New Year's resolutions? But we this is not a serious conversation. I told her, I said, I think I want to be happier with less. To me, that seemed like a good goal to fill up your mind.
What's probably going to happen, Brian, is you're going to experience less.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous part.
Now that you mention it.
Get ready. It's like praying for patience. Pray for patience. You get a line to stand in.
Yeah. At Walmart.
Well, where else? Or really wherever I'm at. I've told the story. It was late night at Walmart. I had to stop and get some things. And we've got like 10 people in the one line that, and they're having register problems, of course, and all of that. Everybody's getting aggravated. You could tell the tension was like everybody was getting mad. I turned around and looked down the line. I said, okay, who in this line has been praying for patience? Because it's your fault. Don't come to Walmart if you're praying for patience. And they all started laughing, and it went down, and everybody just, oh, okay. It's amazing how sometimes that'll help a situation.
Yeah.
I guess that was a side I chose the moment rather than acting out in anger, because I could do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I've left my cart of groceries at the self-checkout before because I got aggravated at the self-checkout. I just walked out and left my groceries sitting there. And yeah. So I can be the asshole.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. Sometimes it's a lot easier.
Somewhere in the files of Walmart, there's videos of Buddy walking out.
No, actually, that was Ingles. That was at Ingles. But yeah, I can do that, man. I can do that. Comments, guys?
Where did you read that last bit from, Buddy? A different translation, you said, which...
Yeah, that last bit was my pinning of that.
Oh, okay.
It was, the question I ask may be, what can I lose today?
So what can you surrender, really?
Yes.
What can you surrender?
Yes. That I feel is valuable to me.
Attachment again.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure is.
So I figured out recently I'm attached to comfort, right? That walking
comfort. Talk about that. I don't want to hear that, Lori.
Of course, when I was walking on a tour yesterday or the day before, what I experienced was a lot of blisters and some clarity. So I think when you pray for patience, you get an opportunity to experience patience, right? That's what you were saying.
Surrender to patience.
Yeah, you have that opportunity. For me, that manifested in an opportunity to pay attention to the choices I make and who I'm listening to in my head. Am I listening to fear talking? Or am I listening to that silent, kind of quieter, intuitive voice that's not full of fear? That space between that's saying, oh, the shoes you have on right now are fine. Don't freak out and go change shoes at the last minute. What's for me in a realistic present moment situation is, which voice do I listen to? And it's the calm, fearless, not urgent and frantic voice that is normally the one that provides the most ease, that easy, graceful way.
If you have time, you can go back, and there's nothing wrong with putting on more shoes or put some moleskin where you'd normally get blisters. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't need to go the whole trip then, the whole walking tour that you're doing or whatever. And
suffer.
All the time say, oh my God, I hope I'm not getting blisters. I feel a blister coming there. All of that thinking that takes you out of the moment. You can't enjoy your tour.
And this is something else that was a great opportunity, was how to take care of yourself in that space and be responsible and say, I'm not going to worry about what that guy thinks of me. I have to go back to the hotel and change shoes.
Yes.
Yes. Or I am going to be not in the present because I'm going to be hurting all day.
Yes.
All awesome practice of being in the moment and paying attention to yourself and take care of yourself.
Because those thoughts, just like Jonathan Starr said, people suffer at the thought.
Yes. I'm going to surrender that thought.
Yeah. I'm not going to let that thought take me away. Just like in meditation. Meditation is a good practice for me to start seeing that.
Exactly.
And then the whole goal, so to speak, is to take what you experience in meditation and start experience it off the cushion. That's the goal. That's really it. Because the meditation is to show you how life can be in stillness, then learning to walk in stillness in your everyday life. What you're setting aside, I set that aside when I'm on the cushion. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not doing anything, if thoughts take me off, I can come back to my breath if I need to. It's to the point now to where I very rarely have real issues with thoughts taking me off. It does still happen, but not as much as it did at first, where it was something so compelling I had to get up and do it, or I forget, that kind of thing. I do keep my phone beside me. When something comes to mind, I'll make a note of it on my to-do list. If it's something I've forgotten to do, that happens quite often, which is good. Sometimes I have ideas to fix problems that I've been working on when I'm on the cushion. When I have that idea, I don't say, I'll remember that later, because I usually don't. So I learned to stop. I asked Sensei about that. He said that's fine. He keeps a notepad beside him when he meditates. He experiences the same thing. So I realized I could do that. And it gets that thought gone too. I don't, the whole time, okay, I got to remember this. I got to remember this. That's taking me out of the moment where I'm at right then. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, guys. It's interesting. I remember before recovery, I could be in a group of people and still feel alone. I never felt loved, or always felt alone, So this is a good reminder in Stephen Mitchell's that what the master does, he makes use of his aloneness. It says the master makes use of it. Ordinary men hate solitude, but the master makes use of it. So any of these things we're experiencing, we can make use of. I think it's more of shit happens than God having a plan. And this was part of the plan. Like, I fall down the steps and I said, well, I'm glad that's over with. Now, I don't think it's like that. My thinking on that's changed, but I do think it's more of life happens. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's life, and we can make use of it, Brian.
And this too shall pass.
Yes. There's another Tao quote that says, heavy rain's not going to last all day. A gust of wind is not going to last all day. It always passes. The seasons are a good example of that. I want to hold on to summer. I hate fall coming. The first high 40s night, or low 50s even. I love it to be in the 60s at night, the 80s during the day. I'll even take the 90s. I love the warm weather. And when I have to put on long pants, I'm like, fall's here. I don't like that. And I fight it for a little while. I'll wear shorts when I should have long pants on. I'll suffer because I don't want to see it change. It's the same with everything in our life has cycles and seasons. And when the season's ending, we suffer until we let go and embrace the new season. They describe it to, let's say you're out in the stream, let's say waist deep, and something comes along and you grab it. If you want to hold on to that as it's going by, it takes more and more force, more and more force. And they say that you have to let go of the thing that's passing so you can embrace the new thing that's coming. And that's really true, because as long as I'm holding on to something in the past that is dead or is passing by, the season's over, ever how you want to explain it, I can't embrace the new thing coming, the new birth that's coming. I can't embrace it. So this is the essence, I think, of this verse. Okay, whatever's coming along, the master makes use of it. It doesn't make use of them. They make use of it. They embrace whatever this is that's either positive or negative. And as they embrace it, which means they find a way to get love into it. Can you find gratitude for this thing? Can you find gratitude for your successes as well as your failures? Both. A lot of times we focus on a failure or a loss. We say, well, we've got to find gratitude in that. But we also have to find gratitude in our gains, because it's easy for me to not embrace gratitude, or, you know, learn to be grateful for my gains. If I'm not careful, I'll think I'm the one doing those. Much more than the losses, I can say, oh, I got to find gratitude in this. I can go there a little easier than I used to. I don't look and say, what did I do that caused this? But if I'm not careful in my gains, I can get carried away too. And the answer is ultimately every time that we're one with everything. That is always the solution. I mean, how can I have a fight with you if we're connected? How can one hand really judge the other hand if they're part of the same body? That really doesn't make sense, does it? So we come to realize that same thing. And the only way I can realize that is when the path to that for me is gratitude and negative things. Maybe the gratitude. Okay. I had a son pass. How can I find gratitude in that? Maybe I don't find gratitude for the situation itself. Maybe I find gratitude for learning to respond to that situation in a way that I could maintain peace and joy. Maybe I find gratitude that this is me going through this. Maybe I can help someone else later that's going through the same situation. That kind of gratitude, like a secondary to the situation itself. I'm not grateful my son died, but I'm grateful for the things I learned how to be at peace in the middle of a very unapproved, unacceptable situation. We can find acceptance in the unacceptable. That's what I mean by gratitude in the negative things, the hurtful things that we have. Just like I had a sponsee that was molested as a child, and I asked him what his part was. He said, what do you mean? I said, no, let me explain. I don't mean you're at fault for what happened, but your part is holding on to this resentment all these years that we need to surrender. That's your part. Sometimes the language there can cloud the real gift. No, not that it happened, but look at what you've learned from what happened. You can be grateful for that. It's similar to where in a meeting, I'll hear that someone say they're grateful for being an alcoholic. And I understand that now. I'm grateful for being an alcoholic because of the ways I've learned to allow peace and joy in my life that I would have never found. This spirituality I never would have found without having to seek it for my life to continue, basically. Brian?
Yeah, that reminds me. I've got a friend that's got a lot of long-term sobriety and AA and NA, and I think he's up around over 30 years, and he talks about that gratitude and that it took every bump in the road to bring him to where he is today, and there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, Brian, I hear a lot of times in a meeting, if I'd have done this or that earlier, maybe I wouldn't have had to do. And I'm like, no, I don't say anything, but because we're learning meetings not to respond to people. We don't speak to people. We share our experience. And I try not to share an experience that is a response clouded. That's a covered response. I try not to do that too. If I know them very well, I might pull them aside after the meeting and say, hey, have you considered this? Sometimes, but most of the time, it's not even that. Unless they're a sponsee, then I definitely talk to them. I had to have every drink to come to a point of surrender. I'm confident and sure that could not be short-circuited. There's no way that I could have decreased that suffering, because that suffering, every bump in the road, every drink, every relapse had to be to bring me to a point that I would actually surrender. So I can't say if I would have done this. What's the Southern saying? I guess it's Southern. If a frog had wings, what it means is if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass when he jumps. And that's the whole saying, but you can say, well, the frog had wings, and just leave it there because everybody knows what that means. So it's not, yeah, I had, that is a waste of time, in other words. And we can't know whether that's true or not. In my thinking, in my experience, I don't think it could be any different. I needed every one of those for me to do what I am decided to do in the third step. Back to that again with everything. If I know that I'm one with everything, I look at success and failure differently. Because if I'm at one with all of that, why should that take me out of the center? Okay, that's just what I'm experiencing right now. Let's see what new thing's coming. I'm not going to hold on to this and stay here. I know it's going to change. I am open to allowing that. I'm open to whatever the next step is for me. And I just stay in that place of openness. If I have nothing to do and it's spinning in my head and I can't get to the center, then I look for a way to be helped. And that embracing brings us back to the center. Oscar's an hour late. Let's let him in. So we come back to the center. Oscar, how are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, good. Thanks. An hour. Hey,
I'm doing good. You're an hour late, my friend.
I was logging in and then I thought, I have another meeting, which I thought, okay, that's changed from 5 to 4 last week. Maybe it has to do with the
time change.
World. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just, too bad.
You'll have to listen to the podcast, my friend. We talked about the 42nd verse and it was very good conversation.
Oh, I love to hear it. I love to hear it.
And if you have any comments on the 42nd, bring them to our attention next week. If you make it.
On the 42nd?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good to see you. I thought we'd let you in just as we were finishing.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Hey, have a nice week.
Well, yeah.
Maybe next week. On the 4th.
Well, next week I try again.
Okay. Thanks, my friend. All right, guys. Any other closing comments? Okay. Well, thank y'all for being here. Y'all have a good week and we'll catch you next week.
Hello, this is Buddy C. I wanted to make you aware of several recovery-related resources that I've posted in the episode description. These resources include a list of recovery podcasts, a free sober meditation app, daily recovery email, shared Google recovery calendars. Hope you put some of these resources to use and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends in recovery.